The scripture reading this evening is taken from 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. It's the story of Elisha on Mount Carmel. It's on page 380 to 382 of your Bibles. Listen to the word of God. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, and when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went in another direction by himself. And as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they would say he is not here, he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here.' And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you I know not where. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me, although I was your servant who feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he will kill me.'" And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire to it. And you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose for yourself one bowl and prepare it first. For you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire to it. And they took the bowl that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made, and at noon Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been thrown down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said, fill 4 jars with water and put it on the burnt offering and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the oblation, that's 3 p.m., Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slaughtered them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. So Ahab went out to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And at the 7th time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So far the reading of this dramatic story of Mount Carmel. Before we open this, let us seek God's guidance in it. Dear Father in heaven, you are the true and living eternal God, the true God. You answered by fire, and the people responded, and you sent rain. O Lord in heaven, help us to see this beautiful story as a great display of your power, of your covenant faithfulness to your servant Elijah, and your love for your people. Lord, bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel is dramatic. It's a marvelous, marvelous story. And it's true. It's a beautiful expression of God's faithfulness. They had been without rain ever since Elijah said to Ahab, "There will not be rain unless at my word." And so there was a terrible drought in that land. And it was all over that area. And God first provided for Elijah to be at the brook, and the ravens fed him. And then when the brook dried up, he went to live with a widow in Zarephath, who was provided with a supply of flour and oil by God's almighty miracle and power. And then her son died, and God, through Elijah, raised him from the dead. And now we read, after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. That's the third year of the famine, of the drought. In the third year, the Lord's word came to Elijah and said, "Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." God is faithful. And so Elijah goes to Ahab. And he doesn't see Ahab first. He first sees Obadiah, who was a faithful prophet of the Lord, who remained faithful even in the dark days of Ahab. And Obadiah had saved 100 prophets of the Lord and kept them alive in a cave. And so Elijah comes and sees him, because Obadiah and Ahab were out to search for some grazing. They were out to search for some grass which could be used for their horses and mules and other livestock. The famine was so severe. The drought was so severe. So Obadiah went one way, and Ahab went the other way. And Elijah met Obadiah and said, "Tell Ahab that I'm here." And Obadiah has a problem with that, because he's afraid that the Lord may move Elijah away, and then Obadiah would be in trouble. So Elijah assures Obadiah that he will definitely see Ahab that day. So that's what happened. Elijah came to Ahab. And what is Ahab's first word? "Is this you, O troubler of Israel?" Now, isn't that typical? Isn't that typical of sinful people? What did Caiaphas say about Jesus? He's the troubler of Israel. Jesus is. One man has to go for the survival of the whole group. Caiaphas said that. And you remember Paul and Silas came into Philippi, healed this little girl that was possessed of an evil spirit. And what did the magistrate say? What did the owners of that little girl say? "Paul and Silas, they're the troublers in Philippi. They're the ones to blame. They're the ones that caused all this trouble." That's just exactly the way it is in the world. The faithful children of God are often blamed. They're blamed. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you if men revile you, say all kinds of evil things against you for my sake. Be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Well, that's precisely what the situation was here. Ahab says to Elijah, so you're the problem. You are the problem. See, they had the whole thing mixed up. Ahab had the wrong thing in mind. He saw the drought. The drought was terrible. But he blames Elijah for the drought. Elijah's not to blame for the drought. Elijah is a faithful prophet of God. The drought was a result of Ahab and Israel's idolatry and forsaking of the Lord God of Israel. And God was showing them the judgment, which is actually mercy. Judgment is intended to bring repentance. Godly repentance leads to salvation and leaves no regret. That is what Elijah and the Lord is looking for in Ahab and Israel. Repentance. And so the Lord in Elijah comes to Ahab, and Ahab says, so you're the troubler of Israel. Elijah says, no, no, no. You are the man. Just like Nathan said to David, thou art the man. It's you and your father's house that have led this nation all astray. You have introduced the Baal worship by marrying Jezebel, and you're leading this whole nation of my people. You're leading them into idolatry. You're leading them into sin. And this is what has brought this devastation upon you. And it's high time that you realize this. But Ahab, he still doesn't realize it. So Elijah says to him, go call the people of Israel that they all come together to Mount Carmel. Now notice that Elijah recognizes, and the Lord through him recognizes, that Ahab is a legitimate king, and that Ahab had to call the people together. It's the king's job to do that. It's the king who is responsible to follow the words of the prophet. And so the prophet Elijah says to Ahab, you call the people together at Mount Carmel. And you call all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table, you call them all to come to Mount Carmel, and we'll have a contest to see who is God, Baal or Jehovah, the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll see who's God. We're going to have a contest. And the God that answers by fire will be the true God. And so Ahab agrees and calls all everyone together, and the whole country of Israel comes together on Mount Carmel. What a sight it must have been. All those people and all those prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, 850 altogether, 400 of one and 450 of the other. And there they all are in this mountain. And Elijah addresses the whole assembly. He addresses them. He said, why are you halting between two opinions? If God is God, if the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and living God, if he is the true God, then serve him. And if Baal is God, serve him. And so let's see who's the true God. We'll see who's the real God, the one who is the true and eternal God, who created the heavens and the earth, and who upholds his covenant, and who is faithful and loving to his people. We'll see which one is. And so the people didn't answer a word. And so Elijah says, okay, these are the terms of the contest. Baal will have a bull, and the Lord God of Israel will have one. And I'm going to let you go first because you're many. You dress the bull. You lay it upon the altar on wood. Don't put any fire to it. And I will do that also for the true God. And we'll see who's the real God. Who is the true and eternal God? Who is unchangeable? Who is faithful? Who created the heavens and the earth? We'll see which one answers by fire. And so the people all said, this is a good idea. We'll buy that idea. That's wonderful. Let's see who is the true God. And so the prophets of Baal take the bull and dress it, lay it upon the wood on their altar, and they begin to cry out, "Oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us." Now notice, Baal was considered the sun god, the god of fertility, the god who gave harvest, who gave birth to cattle and gave birth to people. Baal was considered the true god to them. And so the prophets of Baal, who are the skilled, they're skilled in Baal worship, they go crying out, "Baal, hear us, Baal, hear us, Baal, hear us." It just echoes through the mountain. And Baal doesn't answer a word. You know why? Because Baal is just the work of men's hands. It's an idol. Psalm 115 describes the idol. They have mouths but cannot speak. They have ears but cannot hear. They have tongues but cannot speak. And those who will make them are like them. They can't do anything either. An idol is hopeless and helpless because it is no idol, no truth at all. It's a phantom of imagination. And so the prophets of Baal just keep on doing it, and they went into their ceremonial cutting of themselves with lances and swords so that blood gushed out from them as they go around this altar just yelling Baal to hear them, thinking that maybe Baal would be moved with their pain. But there's not a word. And then Elijah begins to mock them. He begins to mock them. I think of Psalm 2, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." Maybe your God is asleep. He needs to be awakened. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's forgotten all about you. Cry louder. Not a word. Here it was high noon when the sun is at its zenith, at its highest point, and the hottest point, when their Baal surely should have answered by fire, but not a word. Baal is nothing. Absolutely nothing. What are idols of today? Idol, when the Lord says in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," what are gods that people make? Calvin said, "The mind of man is an idol factory." People have all kinds of idols today. Maybe they are not made of wood or stone, but maybe they're gold or silver. Maybe it's a lottery. Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's getting rich. Maybe it's getting a good job. Maybe it's having a great reputation. All these things can be idols. That people worship that. They just want that more than anything else. They wake up in the morning and the first thing they think of is that. They are worshiping some kind of figment of their imagination. And they can cry out all day long, hear us," when there's need, when there's a problem. But the same thing that happened there happens here. There's not a word that comes from the idols. No matter how beautiful the idols look, there's not a word, because there's nothing. They aren't anything. It's just a figment of a person's imagination. They don't exist. And so Elijah mocks them, really, in order to show by mocking them how foolish they are. How utterly foolish they are to bow down to a stone, to a piece of wood, and to think that those kind of things can answer you. I was in Italy, in India in 1995, and I saw people go into the Hindu temple and worship the grotesque monsters. They're huge, black, grotesque images. And these poor people come with their rupees, and they lay the rupees before those idols, and they think that the rupees will bring the idols to help them. Oh, how foolish! And you look into the eyes of these people, and it's just blackness. There's hopelessness. They have nothing to live for. Idolatry is a terrible thing. And so Elijah lays this before them to just reduce this to absurdity. Elijah is presenting them with a great big mirror to look at themselves. Look at the folly that you have followed. That idol is nothing. They can't do a thing. You can cry out all day. You can cut yourself dancing around the idol, hoping that it will answer. There's not a word, because they are nothing. They are empty. Empty. And then Elijah says, okay, you have had your chance. Now come to me. And so Elijah prepares the bowl, lays it upon the altar which he had repaired. It was the altar of the Lord which had been thrown down. And he repairs it with 12 stones, showing that God is speaking now just not to the northern tribes or just to the southern tribes, but he's talking to all 12 tribes of Israel. And he is saying to them, I am your God. And so Elijah prepares the altar with 12 stones. And he lays wood upon the altar and then dresses the bowl, puts it upon that. And then he says, pour water on it. 4 times 3, 12 times. Pour water on it, water on it, water on it. Soak it. And there was a trench put around the altar of the Lord, and that too was filled with water, so that there's no way that there could be a spark coming from Elijah to light that altar. So it's all drenched with water. And then Elijah calls the people to listen, and he says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, O Lord, our God, you are the true and eternal and living God. There is none beside thee. Thou art God and God alone. Show this people that you are the true God, and that I am your prophet, and that these are your people. Show them that you truly, truly, truly are the living God. And out of the sky came a bolt of fire and hit that altar and devoured the bull and the stones and the wood and licked up all the water around it. And the people cried out, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. You see, before the people could receive rain, because that's what Ahab thought Elijah was going to pray for on Mount Carmel, to get that rain started again. But before they could have rain, There had to be repentance. Godly repentance, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. Godly repentance, work of salvation, not to be regretted. It was repentance that these people needed before they could receive the blessing of rain. And that is an abiding principle. Without repentance, no blessing. But when there is repentance, when people repented and said, "We are sorry that we followed Baal, the Lord, He is God alone." And then Elijah says to his servant, "Go look for me over the sea," because Mount Carmel isn't far from the Mediterranean Sea. He says, "Look." And the servant came back, and seven times, the seventh time, the servant came back and said, "I see a cloud the size of a man's hand coming out of the sea." And Elijah said, "Tell Ahab to get moving back to Jezreel," which was the summer palace. "Go back, go there, and you better hurry because rain is coming. Rain is coming." God is showing you that He is the true God, not only by the fire, but now by the blessing of rain. And so Ahab gets in his chariot and heads to Jezreel. And Elijah receives strength from the Lord to run right along with the horses and chariots. And Elijah is vindicated as the prophet of the true and living God. And this God calls you and me to love Him, to serve Him, to know that there is no God but the true and living God who has spoken by His Word. And He calls us to follow that Word, to repent of our sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And Jesus gave His life on Calvary's cross in order to bring reconciliation between offending people and the offended God. And Jesus brought peace by the blood of the cross. And He calls everyone, turn away from idols, turn away from following false religions and false gods. Come to the true and living God who has spoken in His Word, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who calls us to believe and to trust in Him for life and for eternity. That's the wonderful message of this Mount Carmel experience. Trial by fire. And the Lord proved that He is the true and living God. He is real. He is the true God. We may know Him. We may talk to Him. We may confess our sin to Him. We must. We must repent before Him. And the Lord is faithful. He will never, never deny Himself. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls." So the Lord proves in this great story of the Old Testament that our God is the true and living God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our God forever and ever. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts. Thank you for this dramatic story in the Old Testament, that you prove that you are the true God, the living God, who has spoken and who has revealed yourself in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Lord, bless us this night in Jesus' name. Amen.